We certainly do. For the at least 249th time, it's Mark and Sarah Talk About Songs. I'm your co-host, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm here, as always, with the span-flandiferous Mark Blankenship. Hi, Mark.
Hello, and for those of you tracking at home, yes, I still have a cold. I bet you can guess which episodes we recorded on the same day. Hey.
You are smart, listeners. You know things. We also know things and feel ways about things. Which thing are we knowing and feeling about today, Mark?
So I was up in the rotation in terms of choosing a song, and I don't know why, but I just decided that the song I needed to discuss was Don't Stop Me Now by Queen. I guess because anytime I hear this song, my mood improves by at least 15%, and that's always a good enough choice. Ironically, Sarah, given the fact that I think this is a Queen song that many, many people know, and in fact, Spotify would tell me that hundreds of millions of people like it. This song peaked in the 70s on the Hot 100 in 1979.
Wow.
Isn't that just ridiculous?
That's bizarre.
The charts don't always get the charts do not always reflect a song's lasting impact. I mean, I don't know about you, but
remind me what year this was
released? 79.
Oh, well, you know what? I sort of get it.
I mean, yes. I mean, this song is a bit, I guess, grandiloquent for what was happening in the era of My Sharona and when disco was dying. Maybe there wasn't as much room. And the Queen hits of this period are the much more skeletal sounding Another One Bites the Dust or the pastiche of Crazy Little Thing Called Love. So maybe it doesn't track as much on the radio at this period, but I feel like history has proven, and I don't know if that's been your experience, but history has proven to me at least that Don't Stop Me Now is a song that we will always be hearing in one way or another.
I think that's absolutely right. I also think, like, well, maybe we should hear a clip first, but I feel like it's very surprising that this didn't chart higher just based on, like, radio plays, because I don't think it's a great song to dance to, and it's a little bit, like, it's a little bit of a dog's breakfast in terms of the pacing and the various movements within it. Like, it's sort of hard to get a handle on in terms of, like, if you're out on a dance floor, I would hear this and be like, I like this song, but I'm going to go get a Crystal Pepsi because I can't, like, it's hard to dance to this. But you would think that mean it did fine in terms of, like, radio plays and single sales, but I guess not.
And yet, on Spotify, I'm just looking right now, it has been streamed on Spotify 1.1 billion times.
And I mean, it as like a sort of mission statement for Freddie Mercury as an icon, I think it's perfect. But like when it came out, I guess we had no way of knowing.
Right. We can't always predict which songs are going to be the landmark songs.
Yeah, it's true.
Without further ado, let's listen to a clip of Don't Stop Me Now by Queen.
Oh, you won't stop me. Laws of gravity. I'm a racing car passing by like Lady Godiva. I'm gonna go. There's no stopping me. I'm burning through the sky, 200 degrees. That's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit. I'm traveling at the speed of light. I wanna make a supersonic man out of you. Is just a reminder, we are all poorer for the absence of Freddie Mercury on this side of the veil.
That's correct.
Also,
one of the reasons one of the reasons I so love this song is that Freddie Mercury, I feel like I know this isn't literally true, but as I listen to the song, I feel like the only person who could hang on without falling off the rails of this song is Freddie Mercury.
I think that's absolutely right. I think this is also, every now and then in a Queen song, you can kind of hear the rest of the band looking at each other and being like, well, he's crazy for this one, but he usually makes it work. Let's just see where it goes. And then they kind of like back him up with some harmony. And then there's like some crazy, but like, I love that quality of Queen.
Yes.
That the rest of Queen always understood exactly what was up, to wit. Freddie was a supernova who had the perfect rock and roll voice, and that they should just trust. They should just trust him. And
yes,
like, I don't actually know if that, if my feeling about that listening to the song tracks with its actual composition, but there is a moment right before the bridge where he, like, Freddie's like, come on guys. And they're like, that's quicksand. And he's like, it's fine. Like, I don't know. I always love that about Queen, not only that it's so bombastic and so well done, and that Freddie also knows how rad he is and is just enjoying it and not in a dicky way.
Right.
But also that there's this sense that the band is just like, all right, let's see what he's got. Is that a jetpack? All right, let's just see. And that they all work together so well and were able to make these completely, you know, like sui generis, unique, enduring creations that were also fun because they all sort of understood each other and what they could do collectively, and that they should just be like, well, you know, we are in the presence of Freddie. Let's just go with it. So,
yes. And there are some Queen songs that trick the listener into thinking that they too can sing along.
Mm-hmm.
Another One Bites the Dust being a great example. And even there are stretches of Bohemian Rhapsody where you can sing along, mm-hmm, and feel like you're keeping up.
Yeah.
And I love the cockiness of Don't Stop Me Now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there is no fucking way that anyone else can sing along. Maybe like 0.001% of the population. And I feel like that this is Freddie Mercury just saying, look what I can do. And I can do this, and I can do this, and I can do this, and I can ride this insanely fast tempo, and I can growl here and yelp here and stretch out a note here. And it all makes perfect sense because the lyric is, don't stop me now. I am going, I'm burning at 200 degrees. That's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit, which is such a brilliant, a brilliant lyric because it is complete nonsense, but also makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But the whole energy of this song to me is just unleashed. You referenced the movie The Incredibles in our last episode, so I'm going to do it again. There is that moment in The Incredibles where Dash finally gets to run as fast as he can.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like this is that moment for Freddie Mercury. Like, I will just sing loud and beautifully and with incredible control and hit amazing notes, and I'm going to say words that don't make sense half the time, but they're also going to make perfect sense, and the band is just going to keep up and let's go. And I love the sense of freedom and release in that.
And there's also, like, for the first minute, it's just him and a piano and like a snare drum. Like, it's actually like, this is a rock song, but it's also sort of deceptively like cabaret, proof of concept track.
That is like, so, yes, Sarah. Yes,
and
you're right.
His voice, like, this is someone who, again, like, utterly confident in his ability. And this is sort of a, you know, beautiful monologue at the beginning. But again, like, you've got kind of four different songs all hitched together, which they somehow get by with it. Like, when you're listening to the song and analyzing it, you're like, how, like, the, you know, Freddie is greater than the sum of the parts again, because they have a bunch of songs like this that have little movements and you're like, how are they going to get away with this? That's right, Freddie. But that first minute is just him like warming up in front of you and being like,
right,
okay, are you ready? Because I was born ready, and you're still not going to be able to keep up. Bye. And then he's like off, and you're like, well, what else can you do but admire this person who, while this was being sung, was probably wearing a satin onesie cut down to Jesus with little puffy wings on the biceps.
Yeah, and was rocking that shit as
well.
Oh
my God, let's just absolutely be clear. and wearing it with, like, you know, toe shoes or Uggs, like, I don't know, Freddie. Like, I, every once in a while, when I have, when I'm in a sort of, like, place of real pessimism about humanity, I like to revisit certain Queen tracks and just be like, this person who was really sort of screwed over by his own timeline and society and human, you know, the frailty of the human body, who gave an amazing performance in, like, the last thing that he recorded, which Brian May was like, it's fine, have a seat, it's no big deal, let's key it down. And Freddie's like, fuck off, took a vodka shot and sang the shit out of it. And you can hear him just, like, physically flaming out while this is happening. Every now and then I like to listen to that and be reminded that, like, sort of unalloyed good is possible in the universe.
Right.
And it often came in Freddie form.
And, you know, I just feel like he's such a distinct artist, and Queen itself is such a distinct band. I really don't think Queen to me feels like a cul-de-sac in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, there are lots of artists that they create their branches and, like, you can see, but I feel like, although obviously you can say Queen is a glam metal band, Queen is a rock band, there's something about their ability to fuse opera and camp and drop dead seriousness and joy and pain that's, to me, so complex and inimitable. I honestly don't think any other band has ever sounded like Queen, even in the 50 years that it's been now since they were making us, you know, lose our collective minds. And I feel like that makes their music so timelessly, perpetually exciting to listen to, because nobody else ever sounds like this, ever.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that, you know, the rest of the band doesn't get enough credit probably, but that's one of the unique aspects of Queen, in my opinion, is that, like I said before, everybody else involved understood that they were just going to have to sort of cede the spotlight to Freddie, because Freddie could realize all the good things that they were doing in terms of the composition and the guitars and everything else. So,
right.
And, you know, smart that they're like, well, we can be supernova famous with him sort of getting all the credit for everything we do, or we can, you know, play like bingo nights. What do you want to do? And, like, Brian May, obviously not dumb, literally an astrophysicist now. So, but there's a, the sense of them as a collective, or like a crown with Freddie as the giant crown jewel, like the diadem in the center,
right,
is one of the things that is wonderful and unique about them, because there must have been strife and dissension and people wanted, like, hey, my drumming is good, do you mind? There must have been that, but that never comes through in the music. There's always this sense of, like, we are an artistic, like, group. We're a collective. So,
right. And if you believe the shitty movie, there was tension.
Oh, and by the way, good time to mention, if you are listening to this on the Vodacast app, you can click on the link to see reviews of Bohemian Rhapsody and a bunch of other stuff that we collected in our show notes. So go to your app store and download the free Vodacast app. That's VODACAST. Sorry, go ahead.
But you're right. It doesn't affect the music at all. And also, how much does the world love Queen that piece of shit movie was such a big hit is what I will say.
Well, I think the world also loves Rami Malek.
Yes, for good reason. He's great. Okay.
Was he good? I mean, was he good in that? And then the movie was just shitty, or he was also shitty?
Have you had the dubious opportunity to see this film?
I haven't. And your answer will inform whether I ever bother.
Rami Malek is great, but he lip syncs to Freddie Mercury's performances. Uh-huh. So there, what I remember most specifically about seeing Bohemian Rhapsody, which is the name of the film, is when they recreate the live at Wembley Arena performance, that classic performance.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that there was something about Rami Malek's performance and hearing Freddie Mercury's vocals that made me feel existentially angry that right. this life force got taken from us. So right. the movie did do a good job at making me feel the sheer supernova life force that was Freddie Mercury. And I guess now that I'm talking about it, maybe I'm saying, yeah, it's probably worth seeing. It's just like, there are enough moments like that to make it worth watching, even though the writing and directing are just a complete shit show.
Right. All right. I mean, look, Rami Malek is good. Freddie Mercury is good. But sometimes, like, you know, it's like trying to get two positive poles, like they're going to repel each other. So.
Right. But it worked out. It worked out this time.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess I don't have that much else to say. Like, Freddie, again, Freddie is Freddie. Queen is Queen. I think everything you said is right on, that they sort of defy genre. And that's one of the many amazing things about them. And not only could we not stop Freddie then, we continue to not be able to stop Freddie now.
And that's why they call us Mr. and Mrs. Fahrenheit. No, no one. I've been referred to as Mr. Kelvin a few times, but never Mr. Fahrenheit.
We are traveling at the speed of light, however.
And Sarah Talk About Songs is hosted by Mark Blankenship, that's me, and Sarah D. Bunting.
That's me. I also edit the podcast, which is a proud member of the Bleav Network. Learn more at bleav.com.
To learn more about us, submit song requests, get a pop chart reading, or buy a Mastis book, visit our website at markandsarahtalkaboutsongs.com. You'll also find all of our social media links there, too.
That's Mark and Sarah, with an H, talkaboutsongs.com. And for even more content and access to the Mastass Happy Hour, become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/mastass.
Thanks for listening.
I met a man. He told me straight.